This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We begin hour number three. It is VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross here, downtown Las Vegas at Circa Sports. Our closer, Jensen Lewis, back home in Cleveland, Ohio. We've got Joe Serrallo. We've got Wes Reynolds coming up this hour. Got a nice email here, and this comes to us from Rich in Canada. It says he's watching on SN360. Enjoyed the conversation we have with Paul Bruno in the last segment. And also want us to note that J.J. Spahn, when he won the U.S. Open last week, 4.2 milli. That's what he won there. So pretty good payday for a guy like J.J. And also we do appreciate everybody watching and listening to us north of the border and wherever you might be watching and listening. Also, we got this nugget coming out from Adam Schefter there on X. And this is rather significant. How about this very quickly? Incoming Packers president and CEO Ed Policy is not ready to offer contract extensions to Matt LaFleur and Brian Gutekunst. So you got a new owner CEO.
Hang on a minute, what?
So all of us, not really ready yet to commit to the current head coach LaFleur and the GM Gutekunst, who I think that if changes happen to be made, and I'm not saying they will, I'm sure this will all get worked out. Everything will be fine in Green Bay. How long do you think those guys will be on the market if LaFleur and Gutekunst hit the open market as coaches and GMs?
I got news for Ed Policy. Your policy better change, and it better change quickly, my friend. What?
How about that?
I mean, oh, my goodness.
How do you
what kind of cheese has Ed had so far?
How
dear Lord.
This is Green Bay, people. Ed, we like continuity here in Green Bay. By the way, not really a good way to start off before you get to training camps and into the regular season if your head coach and your GM might be looking over the shoulder. Just something to monitor here in June. Let's get to it here with Wednesday to begin hour number three today. And again, you've got a guy in the bump here in the ATL. And I wonder how long he's going to be on the bump in the ATL.
Again, and for people just joining us, yes, we brought up hypothetical trades. Yep. Atlanta would have to be so far out of the race that it made more sense. And I would say that they'd have to get overwhelmed for Chris Sale to depart Atlanta. But hey, we've seen blockbusters before, Dave, when we didn't see him coming. Mm-hmm. So just throwing it all out there. Interesting matchup today. Your Metropolitans are going to try and bounce back off the mat after Atlanta comes back late and gets a win across the line. There's been a couple of guys that have been really good against Chris Sale and some guys not so much. Let's start with Frankie Lindor. 4-12, two doubles, two homers career against Chris Sale. Juan Soto, besides the base running blunder last night, what an idiot. 1-7, 6 punch outs. Count them. 6 of the 7 ABs.
Wow.
Free air conditioning. Lean so far. Nothing posted yet on DraftKings that I'm seeing, Dave, on the total bases market for Soto. but the under 1.5 is what I would play. And then Frankie, 2 or more total bases, plus $1.10 on DraftKings right now. Sometimes you just got to see it. Well, he does from the right side. There against the lefty and the power man and Chris Sale.
Yeah, kind of fascinating to see those splits there for Soto against Sale and then seeing how well Frankie Lindor does against Chris Sale as well. And by the way, again, Joe Serrallo, our buddy, is going to join us here in the next segment to get his baseball plays of the day as well. But you've got maybe sometimes you have to go the road. Is it less traveled that you're going to go look at today on a Wednesday?
Yeah, the path less traveled. I predicate this with maybe some names that you don't normally look for in pitcher versus hitter matchups. But one particular that stands out is Keibert Ruiz, catcher for the Washington Nationals. He gets a matchup against Ramon Marquez of the Rockies. 5-for-8 with a pair of doubles. Monitor starting lineups here, Dave, for the Marlins and the Phillies game. Dane Myers did suffer a hit by pitch over the weekend. Was not in the lineup yesterday. Wait and see if he's in there today. But I would say just an amendment here. If somehow Dane Myers not in the starting lineup, I still think you can go a 2 or more total bases play for Keibert Ruiz at minimum. But if Dane Myers is in the lineup, good numbers career against Ranger Suarez, 417 average, 3 doubles. So if that is the case, a full unit play on Caber Ruiz and Dane Myers to record a hit each, make that a parlay, and then also a half unit play on a two or more total bases parlay for both those players as well.
By the way, the Nationals have lost 10 in a row. And you mentioned with Marquez on the bump here for the Rockies. Dare I say they're getting respect in the marketplace. Plus $1.38 in Colorado. You got to lay $1.69 here with the Nats. But like, I didn't see this stuff coming. Did you, that the Nationals are free falling and the Rockies, dare we say, respectable in the month of June?
Yeah, four homers late in the game yesterday to go ahead and put that one on ice. So yeah, all of a sudden, the Rock Show, as my great friend and colleague Ryan Spielberg does a great job on their TV side, would say the Rock Show is in town in the nation's capital. So watch out, man. Potentially another spot to attack the Rockies today.
Don't let the Rockies get hot. They're starting to get hot. And maybe with Wednesday continuing, Marquez on the bump, that is a theme today in that lineup against D.C.
We'd be remiss if we did not offer some free air conditioning as we get into the summer months here. And yeah, let's go right back to that Washington and Colorado matchup here. Josh Bell, career against Herman Marquez, 3-for-26, 9 strikeouts. Brent Rooker, let's go out against always a tough customer and Framber Valdez, 2-for-18, 5 punch outs. Also in that game, Dave, Jake Myers against the righty Luis Severino, 1-for-11, 5 punchies. Oof. Let's go Josh Bell. And again, these are going to be juiced a little bit higher for people. So if you're uncomfortable with it, I get it. But Josh Bell under 1.5 total bases, minus $1.70. Brent Rooker under 1.5 total bases, minus $1.65. Jake Myers under 1.5 total bases, minus $1.80. And then for a half unit parlay, let's have a little fun with this. Josh Bell, Brent Rooker, and Jake Myers all to each record at least a strikeout. Ooh. Get that almost at 3-to-1. On DraftKings for that parlay. So a half unit to have some fun there for some free air conditioning here on a Wednesday in June.
All right, let me get into the psyche of major leaguers with you. If you are a Bell, Rooker, or a Myers, you know your numbers against these guys, right? And you as the pitcher, Jensen, you know, like I'm equating this back to my days. I was not a good hitter, hit 222, but I made the All-Star team because of my defense. But I was going up against a guy, Mark Davis, a buddy of mine that played big-time college baseball. I knew I couldn't hit him. He knew he couldn't hit me, right? Like he knew there was nothing I could do. He had me. He's got this you-know-what eating grin on his face when I step into the dish. Is that happening today for these guys? Like, does Marquez go, oh, Josh Bell? Josh Bell knows that I have his number. Do you want to face those guys or you want a day off if you're Rooker, Myers, or Bell?
Well, again, none of these guys are going to run away from it, but it's in the back and you know the numbers. I mean, you're probably going over some extensive video of, all right, what has changed potentially? Maybe some areas I can exploit. But sometimes, man, and I can tell you from experience, there were guys that I could have thrown overhand, underhand, sidearm. It didn't matter. Average exit velo of 1 million off me. And then there were some guys that I just knew. I'm like, I'm going to own you, pal. And it feels good to do it. So, yeah, I mean, Nationals, again, you mentioned it, losing 10 in a row. And Herman Marquez, an opportunity to continue the winning ways for the Colorado Rockies. But, yeah, some of those places to attack today. And, again, love to see opportunities when you get premium starting pitching. There are guys that handle it. And Francisco Lindor, that Chris Sale matchup, going to be fun to watch tonight, too.
You know, we've seen a couple of managerial changes. I don't think they're that surprising that we saw. And certainly Colorado is one of those places. And Baltimore is the other. For these teams that got off to just terrible starts, why now are they starting to play at least respectable baseball, whether it's in Charm City or it's out in the Mile High City? It can't be just the managerial change, can it, Jensen?
Well, I would say it's particularly the Colorado is getting Clint Hurdle back. And again, former manager there with Colorado, yeah, but has always been a really good hitting guy. And when you look at sometimes the messaging and communication for younger players, maybe just that the father figure voice or someone who's been there, done that for a very long time. Mm. In parts, maybe a mental clarity. And again, hey, we're not in danger of the Colorado Rockies, you know, going on a 25-game win streak here or anything like that. But it's more for the future, right? You're trying to find a foundational set of guys from a position player standpoint that you can build around for years to come. Ezekiel Tovar is going to be one of those guys. They thought it was going to be Nolan Jones. making the trade with Cleveland. That's no longer the case with Jones back in Cleveland. And there are other guys there. I mean, Hunter Goodman is going to be a guy from a catching standpoint and a power standpoint. I'm not going to put him in the Cal Raleigh echelon just yet, but you can kind of see where the power and the production that is so hard to find with the double-edged sword there from behind the dish. There are some guys that you want to start buying into a little bit. And let's face it, this is why you play the game. It's why it's a marathon, Dave. There are times where bad teams find a way to turn it around. And you mentioned Baltimore. Hey, stranger things have happened. It's a wide open American League. So they got internal reinforcements from a starting pitching standpoint in Bradish and Grayson Rodriguez that could really help them here in the coming weeks. It's going to still be a little bit, but they may be buyers and sellers at the deadline, knowing that there's some veteran pieces that teams will come calling about.
The Rockies have won three games in a row for the second time this month. In the month of June, their win total in the month of June was 9.5. They've already got seven wins for the Rockies. Break up the Rockies. 16 wins on the season. By the way, if you're into futures wagering, as I am, fantasy, or you just like the thrill of calling your shot, you got to check out xcuta.com. That's X-C-U-T-T-A. It's basically the future of how we're going to play. Think of it like combining a live auction with a strategy of sports betting. You're going to choose what you want to bid on, whether it's players, teams, golfers, even horse racing. Over 1,000 athletes and teams to choose from every major sport. You're going to set the terms, build your own auction, invite your friends to play. You can even start those auctions for free. It's like creating your own mini sportsbook with you and your crew. Here's the hookup. Email support@xcuta.com. Mention VEASAN. They're going to send you a special 3-month player promo code to get you started. Again, that's xcuta.com. X-C-U-T-T-A. Future waging just got a serious upgrade.
You're tuned in to VEASAN by the Books right here on VEASAN.
Oh, this is going to be a lot of fun catching up with our guy, Joe Cirillo, Dave Ross, Jensen Lewis here with you on this Wednesday. Of course, you know him, you love him on the network. Joe joins us here on the Progressive Guest Line. Give him a follow on X as we do at The Joe Cirillo, and also a fantastic IG follow. Joe, do you get more responses on IG or do you get them on the X?
Very different crowds, I'll say. On Twitter, I get more responses from our VEASAN faithful. On Instagram, I get more responses from a different demographic, different target demographic on Instagram, though.
You know your audience, right? You got to know your audience.
Absolutely. Absolutely, guys. Great to be on with you. Missed you both.
We're looking forward to this, to catch up, talk some baseball with you. We know you're out there in L.A. Just tell us what that's like for Jensen being in Cleveland, me here in Vegas. I don't get to see the sunrise because I'm doing the show. You're out there in L.A. This has got to be the perfect way to wake up. Cup of coffee, VEASAN by the Books. It doesn't get a whole lot better.
I mean, you already know how we're rolling here, right? Hot black cup of coffee with me. I got the sunrise out my window. Look, you guys know I was predominantly the late night guy at VEASAN, so not too many sunrises here, but it's nice for a change to be up early and look out my window and see that, look on my TV and see you guys, and now be on with you both.
You got it, buddy. Let's start with the first game on the slate, a little afternoon action on the East Coast, but also 1:10 Pacific time, first pitch. Red Sox and the Mariners, and we get a battle of a former ace in Luis Castillo and the current ace of the Red Sox, Garrett Crochet. Lover, you're at targeting strikeouts and outs here overall for the big left-hander. What do you got for us?
Yeah, I'm double dipping on this one, and before I get into the best bets, I have to say it is a travesty that on a Wednesday, we have to wait until 4 Eastern right to get some baseball. I mean, Dave did not go fight and serve for this country to have no baseball games until 4 p.m. Eastern on a Wednesday.
Yeah, what are we
joke.
Doing?
I'm double dipping. It's terrible. I mean, come on. We got to have some early games here. But give me Garrett Crochet over 7.5 strikeouts. Now, I was able to get this most big shops. It's minus 145, minus 150. I got it minus 125 with our friends over at ProfitX. He's actually had better strikeout numbers on the road this year than he's got at Fenway Park. And the Seattle team, interesting reverse splits for them as well. They're striking out 9 times per game at home at T-Mobile. That's the third worst mark in terms of home Ks per game in the big leagues. Crochet on the road, nearly 12 Ks per 9, an opponent average of just 200. He's made one start at Seattle in his career, went 7 innings, 13 punch outs. So not only am I targeting over 7.5 Ks at minus 125, My favorite play, over 18.5 outs, plus 150. Buehler got bounced from the club early last night. Crochet is going to have to go out there and stretch it out for Boston because they had to go to the pen in the fourth inning last night's game. And Jensen, you can attest to this. You watch Garrett Crochet pitch. The guy is 6'6", 250. He's got tree trunks for legs. He makes throwing 99 on pitch number 105 look absolutely effortless. He doesn't really exhaust himself throwing 100, 110 pitches this season. We've seen him get stretched out longer than Chicago would let him go a year ago. So I love over 18.5 outs, plus 150. Sign me up.
Yeah, love that, handicap there, Jensen. Yeah, you know all about that, too, those big legs, being able to use those legs to drive. guys, I don't know how we bet the Tigers when school was pitching, but did you guys see this number? The Tigers are minus 313. 313 today on the money line against the Buccos. Joe, I know you're not going to lay that. How are you going to attack Scooble and the Tigers today?
So this one's tough because of the forecast out there in Detroit. The game starts 6:40 p.m. Eastern. Okay. They're expecting an 82% chance of rain at 8 p.m. Eastern. Mm. So Scooble might realistically only go 4 or 5 innings in this one. I can't go over 8.5 strikeouts if the guy's only going to go 4 or 5 innings here. So I'm trying to target the earned run market. I may look walks as well. This is the one bet I haven't placed yet because I'm worried about the weather and I'm waiting on a more accurate forecast. But you look at his earned run number here. It's not 1.5 like it usually is for an ace like a Scooble or a Paul Skenes. It's 0.5 earned runs allowed. Now it's plus $1.50 to the under. Look, if you think Scooble goes 4 or 5 shutout innings and then some rain comes in and he has to get taken out, there might be value there. Problem is, this is a guy we're used to seeing go 6, 7 innings, allowing one run. Does that one run come in the second inning? Does it come in the sixth? That could be the difference here between whether or not you take this. The walks, that's intriguing because he's allowed 0 walks in 8 of his last 12 starts. So it's not the same price. Under a half an earned run is plus 150. Under half a walk, plus 125. But maybe that's what you target if he's only going to get out there for 4 or 5 innings in this one.
Yeah, can't even target a Joe Cirillo special. Will the Tigers bat in the bottom of the ninth? That is laying $2 there. Oh, I mean, that is just astronomical stuff, considering where Tarek Skubal is. All right, we target the Phillies here in a couple of ways, but the run line sticks out to you. Very intriguing matchup as well today. I know that we've had some Phillies and Marlins talk here in our Daily Diamond, but Ranger Suarez, Adam Mazur going to get the start here for Miami. You like it potentially at plus money for the Phillies to win by 2 or more.
Yeah, I got this one at even money over at ProfitX, and there are just so many different signs pointing towards Philly in this one. First off, you know, Rob Thompson got up on his soapbox. He benches Castellanos yesterday, ends the 236-game streak. The offense looked anemic, and Castellanos has not been an all-star this year, but that lineup certainly needed him. I think you're going to get a pissed-off Castellanos with war potentially going on in the Middle East. Maybe you play him to hit a home run. We know how that works, obviously. But I think that the lineup is going to come out there and make a statement. You look at Mazur, Jensen, right? 8 starts a year ago for San Diego. He was terrible. He's a fly ball pitcher going up against the lineup that's got pop. He had a 1-to-1 strikeout-to-walk ratio, about a strikeout every other inning. So guys put the ball in play against him. I just don't think that bodes well for Miami. And then Ranger Suarez, on the other hand, the guy's found his rhythm, right? He's been incredible since he got shelled in that season debut against Arizona. 7 starts since then, pitching to a 1.16 ERA, a 200 opponent batting average, and a sub-1 whip. I think he holds Miami at bay. I think Philly wins this one by multiple runs.
I love what you're getting to, Joe, because anytime there's a seismic world event, Nick Castellanos goes deep. So for kids that are not aware of that, it is a real thing that happens out there. If you had the over in the Royals and Rangers yesterday, you had to feel pretty good about it when it was 6-1, I believe, in the fifth, and that ended up being the final score. Sometimes these teams, Joe, certainly the Royals, I know as being a backer of theirs, struggle to score runs. Do you think that trend continues today?
Yeah, I said Philly's lineup looked anemic yesterday. These two lineups have been anemic all season long. I mean, Kansas City, Texas, they can't hit a lick. You look at them against lefties, too, with this Bubich-Patrick Corbin matchup. And both lineups, bottom 10 against left-handed pitching in OPS and runs scored. So I'm looking at the first 5, under 4.5, got this minus 110 at ProfitX. How about five of Chris Bubich's last seven starts? The full game has stayed under 4.5. He's got reverse splits this year, better on the road than at home. A 1.48 road ERA, allowing just 7 earned in nearly 43 innings of work. And current Rangers against him, just 4-for-20, 1 extra base hit. So I don't expect many Rangers to be in scoring position in this one. How about Patrick Corbin, by the way? I mean, this is a guy, we made Patrick Corbin Day a thing for the last half decade, always fading him. He's going through a little renaissance this year. Mm-hmm. And at home, pitching to a 3-flat ERA. He's been really good at keeping guys when he works into traffic. He's been really good at working out of traffic, keeping the ball in the park. His home run numbers on the road aren't good, but at home, they're much better. And Corbin, 5 home starts this year. 4 of those 5 have seen the full game stay under 4.5. So give me the first 5 innings under 4.5. Both offenses, bottom 5 this season in runs scored and OPS. Just 2 really bad lineups.
Yeah, it's remarkable, too, because there's plenty of talent up and down there. They have yet to really put it together. But a team that has put it together, that's the Houston Astros here, Joe. They get Luis Severino. They're in Sacramento. We've got a couple of guys that have had really good career numbers, Jose Altuve, Yonner Diaz. Framber Valdez on the mound for the Astros today. Good recipe for success for Houston in this one.
Oh, man, Valdez is as hot as anyone. He's won 6 straight decisions, last 7 starts, ERA is 2-flat, 11 Ks per 9 almost, an opponent average of 183. And then Luis Severino, I mean, this is a tale of two cities right here, right? The guy goes on the road, he looks like Bob Gibson. He goes home and that minor league park, he looks like he should be pitching in the minors. A 7.10 ERA at home. We're looking at 52 innings pitched, 41 earned runs. It's almost hard to be that bad. He gets on the bump at home and he's just watching guys run around and around and around. And I think Houston's going to do that tonight against them. So I'm laying 45 cents here, but give me the Astros money line. I think it gets ugly for the A's.
Joe, you mentioned you're keeping an eye on the weather in Detroit. There's a great Curb Your Enthusiasm about the weather in LA called The Weatherman, where Larry David, the whole hypothesis is that they just say it's going to rain so they get their tee times and nobody plays the course. Do you even have to check the weather in LA every day? You just wake up and it's sunny.
Dave, it's sunny and 78 every day, man. It really is paradise.
Greatest job in the world, a weatherman in LA. It doesn't get a whole lot better. Joe, you're the best, man. We appreciate you catching up and talking some baseball with us.
Thanks, guys. Talk soon.
There he is, everybody. The great Joe Sorrell. Give him a follow on X as we do at The Joe Sorrell. Our best bets and Wes Reynolds is coming up later on this hour. Don't go anywhere. It's VSiN by the book.
VSiN by the books, right here on VSiN.
A lot of fun catching up with Joe Sorrell in the last segment, talking all things Major League Baseball. Going to have Wes Reynolds on in the next segment to talk things, all things golf. And we're going to have the Travelers going on up there in Hartford, Connecticut this weekend. It is an elevated event, so Wes is going to help us break all that down. Do we bring up the Pacers to Wes now that Halliburton's got this injury?
Yeah, he's a true professional.
Okay.
Wes has not only been supporting the Pacers, he's been supporting the – by the way, WNBA, not a serious league after what happened to Caitlin Clark.
Oh, just keep
yesterday.
Knocking her
not
down.
Not a serious
okay.
league.
Yeah.
Not a serious like a league. So Sophie, shout out Sophie Cunningham, also a huge fan of our show.
Mm-hmm.
When she went and retaliated for a teammate. So that brought warm feelings to my heart, Dave, as I've told you. My lone career ejection was throwing at Adrian Beltre in retaliation for our guys getting hit when I was a Cleveland Indian. So shout out Sophie for doing what she did in defense of a teammate.
By the way, I love that. I know I'm old school in that regard. You have your teammates back in that regard. And you're mentioning it last night, if you didn't see it, she definitely had Caitlin Clark's back in that. But like, just very quickly before I give it our best bets, is that day and age in Major League Baseball going away? Or will there always be that self-policing to a degree?
If you watch the Padres and the Dodgers, it's still alive and well, man.
Right?
Some hit by pitches here the last couple of years. I know Manny Machado was very hot yesterday and last night's game about a late hit by pitch. So You gotta pick your spots. Again, Dave, we never advocate throwing anywhere above the shoulders. Never, ever, ever, ever. We are not trying to jeopardize anyone's livelihood or put anyone in harm's way.
Oh, man.
There are ways to handle things. And, you know, the fact that we don't have the ability to go outside the running lane, if you will, outside the bag at second base, that was also another one.
Sure.
You know, where guys would go in hard at second to send a message for some middle infielders. So, again, different day and age, but I came up where like you defend your teammate when you need to, and if you don't get them in the final game of a series, definitely you postmark that one for when you see that club again.
I'll just say in my Meet the Mets group text with my boys every day talking about the Mets for years, we've had this. Pete Alonso gets hit a lot, and you get to the point where you're like, how much of this are you going to take? As a team, as an organization, where you've got to have some pushback here. How do you do that? There's a way to do it. I think you eloquently put it, the way you can have some pushback here, just never above the shoulders, but anything below it, I think it's fair game. Sometimes you got to make those stands. Let's get to our best bets that are brought to us by GBank, the official bank of VEASAN. And got some great plays there that Joe just gave us for the day and some prop scenarios there. You do have a couple as well. I want to stay in Major League Baseball first before we get to some of those College World Series plays. And again, the O's and Rays have been two teams here, Jensen, that really offensively, they feel like they've found their way. Does that continue today?
I do think we get an over nine. That's an official play for me. Trevor Rogers against Taj Bradley. Bradley can strike him out with the best of them. He can walk him with the best of them. So you're always leery of command issues there. And then Trevor Rogers, lefty there for the Baltimore Orioles. Always tell people when we have those games at George Steinbrenner Field, target the left-handed bats. That's where I would go again. And I guess, Dave, to be fair, We've had games where they've started slow and then all of a sudden a monsoon, not to use a weather term there in South Florida, but we've seen a lot of runs be scored in a very short amount of time. So if it gets off to a good start, just kind of stay with it. I'll tell you another guy to look at, Yandy Diaz, to score a run, a leadoff hitter there for the Rays, someone I would target in that game too. So left-handed bats, always good to look at. Ryan O'Hearn would also be someone from a left-handed bat perspective that you want to look at in that matchup tonight.
Again, let's update people on the College World Series. I know you've got some leans and some plays already in pocket today, but Arkansas, their demise may be greatly exaggerated, correct?
Zach Root and company avoiding elimination and getting past a UCLA yesterday. So that sets up a rematch of Arkansas and LSU. The first game today, 2:05 Eastern, first pitch, Louisville against Coastal Carolina. Louisville must win to stay alive. If they do, they'll play again tomorrow. Coastal with a win, they are into the College World Series final on Saturday. Same scenario here for Arkansas and LSU. Arkansas must stay alive to prolong their season. LSU a win and they are in. I do have one official play. I do like Arkansas on an alternate line. You can get them at $1.30 on the money line, but I do think they find a way to limit LSU's offense. I think they win by two or more. And so I'm going to take like a double shot here, Dave, and play for the tie if I need to. I took an Arkansas -1 at +$1.02. I do lean the under 11 in that Louisville and Coastal Carolina game. Coastal's frontline starting pitching has been phenomenal. So you see the College World Series odds right now up to date. LSU even money to win it. Dave, you could have gotten Arkansas at +650.
Wow.
When they lost that first game to LSU way back when we were there on the ground. But I do think Arkansas finds a way to keep their season alive in a winner-take-all matchup tomorrow for those two teams.
And again, we mentioned it yesterday coming up this weekend. We'll talk about more of it coming up Friday here, the big main event coming up Saturday on ABC. That's going to be on network TV here. Jamal Hill against Khalil Roundtree Jr. And I had mentioned yesterday in the program that I'd already played Jamal Hill at +$1.25. I theorized that I thought that line, by the time we got to Fight Night Saturday, could be a pick'em. It might flip faves before we even get to Thursday. Jamal Hill is now down to +$1.05 betting underdog against Khalil Roundtree. So again, pays to watch, listen, become a VSiN Pro subscriber, all those things. And again, it wasn't just a money play. I felt like it was misaligned anyway. So when I grabbed that plus $1.25, I really do think Jamal Hill is the right side Saturday night. So again, while you can still get plus money, I wouldn't shy away from it, even though you're not getting the best of the number now. But be careful, because if this thing starts to go the other way, and Jamal Hill becomes too big of a favorite, I don't know if he's going to flip all the way that quickly. Just keep an eye on it. But that's why we try to attack these things earlier in the week and see if we can find some really good numbers on it. We mentioned the Pacers tomorrow night going up against OKC. The big news there is, will Tyrese Haliburton be able to go for Indiana? This number, the total, by the way, is down to 225.5. And that is interesting, because you go, well, that's because if Haliburton can't go, or if he goes, how effective is he going to be? You go back to game five at OKC. He literally did not make a shot. He had 4 points, all those at the free throw line, 0 for 6 from the floor, 0 for 4 from 3. Is that why we see that suppressed total? Or if Haliburton can't be Hallie and you got to go to TJ McConnell, yeah, he can still push it a little bit, but can he push it for 48 minutes? More than likely not. Is that why you think this total is down to 222.5?
Yeah, I could certainly see that, and I'll answer your question with a theory and get your thoughts on it. So remember, I told you earlier in the show, for people just joining us, the rebounds and assists market, irregardless, I think, of Haliburton's status, was an area I wanted to target for TJ McConnell anyway. 8 or more rebounds plus assists, you can get that at minus $1.40 right now. Can I interest you potentially, Dave, in points and assists right now if – you know, Haliburton in his current state right now, 15 is the number. So over 14.5 points plus assists for TJ McConnell.
Wow.
You can get it on FanDuel at $1.44. If you want to go the 15.5 route, it's $1.05 at DraftKings. Any interest in that right now, knowing that we don't have a clear idea yet of what Halliburton's availability will be?
Absolutely. I think I'd play the $1.05 price at 15.5 instead of laying the juice at $1.44. Because again, even let's just say Haliburton goes. And by the way, we talked a little bit about it too. This all, he's hurting the team. If he's trying to play hero, but no, if he can go, he's going to go. And I don't think that certainly anybody, Rick Carlisle or any of those players, are going to look at him sideways for that. But if he can't go, that number's really going to jump up before we get to tip off tomorrow night there back in Indiana. So I think 15.5 is playable either way. If Haliburton does play and you still get 22, you're still going to get 25 plus minutes, you would think, from TJ McConnell, regardless of whether or not Haliburton can go. I think it's a really good number there that you outlined there at $1.05. I'd play that at 15.5 today. And again, right now it's 6.5 by the way of OKC. We theorize that if that Haliburton news comes out and he can't go, I think Jensen and I are thinking that number might be 7, 7.5, 8 potentially there. So if you're like the Pacers, regardless of the injury, I'd wait and see if you can get a better number here before you get to tip off, already up to 6.5. Got a $500 trifecta right now at GBank, First Bet, and VEASAN. All you got to do is open up a GBank Visa Signature credit card. First 90 days, deposit and play through $1,000 at First Bet to trigger that $500 trifecta. You're going to get $200 in cashback rewards on your GBank Visa Signature credit card. First Bet is going to give you a $100 deposit match. VEASAN will complete that trifecta with a free VEASAN Pro subscription through October 31st. That's a $200 value in and of itself. That is the $500 trifecta from GBank, First Bet, and VEASAN. Head over to VEASAN.com/GBank. That's VSIN.com/GBank. Again, this is a one-time promotion limited to customers opening up a new account in response to this offer. It will not apply to requests to convert existing accounts. Apply today. Terms and conditions do apply. The U.S. Open is over. Golf, not by a long shot. We're going to talk with Wes Reynolds next, see what he thinks about the Travelers. That's next year. VEASAN by the books.
You're tuned in to VEASAN by the books right here on VEASAN.
We are back, VEASAN by the books, on this Wednesday edition. We always love on Wednesdays our Wednesdays with Wes, the one and only Wes Reynolds. Give him a follow on X at Wes Reynolds, the number one. And again, joins us here in the Progressive Guest Line. And Wes, we got to ask you before we get to the golf, because you know we're going to talk a lot of golf here as we move on from the U.S. Open up to Hartford this weekend for the Travelers. where are you with the Pacers and Halliburton, the injury, going back home for game six? We know you were out there, looked amazing from watching you on IG and Twitter. Where do you think they are with Halliburton? He can't actually hurt them if he plays, can he?
You know, I'm kind of like, just do the best you can. And I hate the fact that I've had to like temper my expectations now, because look, I really believed that they were going to win this series. And I said, you know, there's a t-shirt around Indianapolis that says, "Why not Indiana?" Mm. And that's being sold everywhere. And that's how I felt. But, you know, just looking at how ineffective Tyrese was, and really that game, even though it felt like it was Oklahoma City's game all of game five, the Pacers had it down to 2-point deficit,
right,
with like 8.5 minutes to go. It's like, man, here we go again. They can win this thing. And then all of a sudden, from like the 7:49 mark to the 5:05 mark, you had 5 turnovers, 3 by Andrew Nembhard, 2 by Tyrese Halliburton. That directly led to Thunder points. And then all of a sudden, what was a 5-point deficit is now 16. So, you know, I'm hopeful for the best. Now, I think 6.5 is probably getting a little bit high here. I think Tyrese is going to try to go. But the one thing I didn't like in game number 5 is at like the 7-minute mark, you have to put TJ McConnell back into the game, knowing that you have an injured Tyrese Halliburton. And I know, you know, Rick Carlisle wanted to give him the benefit of the doubt, where it's like, you know what, this guy's earned his right to be here.
Right.
And Tyrese even said that in the post-game presser, and he's right. But you also got to do what's right, I think, for everybody. And what was right was TJ McConnell, who single-handedly, I thought, got them back in the game in the third quarter. So, you know, hopefully we at least take this the distance and take this to 7. I think there's a lot to like about this Pacers team going forward. This is not like 2000, where that was an old veteran team, and this was their 8 mile, their one shot, their one opportunity to win the NBA championship. I feel the Pacers have a couple good years with this bunch left.
I would agree, Wes. And the Eastern Conference going to get a bit of a shakeup this offseason, no question about it. Speaking of shaking it up, top of your card here for the Travelers this week, you've got Colin Morikawa, a lot left to be desired for anyone that backed him at Oakmont for the U.S. Open. But potential bounce back spot, do you think, for him here at the Travelers?
I think it could be, Jensen. And look, I haven't had a lot of luck betting this guy, because I keep looking at the stats and I keep looking at the approach numbers, and I'm like, my God, this guy should win. Like, only Scottie Scheffler's better than this guy, you know, pretty much in most of the stats from an iron standpoint. T23, you're right, last week at the U.S. Open, number one in approach, number one tee to green, number one strokes gained ball striking, number two greens in regulation. So how the hell did he finish 23rd? Mm. Well, he lost nearly 9 strokes over 4 rounds with his putter. By the way, that was his worst performance on the greens ever as being a member of the PGA Tour. He had never had a worse putting performance. But going into that, he had gained on the greens in 3 consecutive starts. So, you know, I think he very well could turn it around this week. So I forewent the really top of the board with Scotty and with Rory, even though Rory drifted out to 14 briefly. I went against Scotty here last year and he beat me in a playoff because I had Tom Kim, unfortunately. So I'm ready to get hurt again.
Looking at the top of the board again, this is an elevated event. So you've got all the big guns out there in the PGA Tour that are going to be there. There are some guys that did miss the cut last week at Oakmont, as we referenced here, like the big Swede, Ludvig Åberg, wasn't around for the weekend. You know, Patrick Cantlay, Justin Thomas missed the cut as well. Tommy Fleetwood missed the cut. Sepp Straka missed the cut. Those guys that had extra time off, does that help them at all in the preparations here coming off Oakmont if they had bad showings there?
I don't think it necessarily hurts them, Dave, just to have the extra time, because I'm not, I think, overreading the U.S. Open results, because we know the U.S. Open is the U.S. Open and it's unique to everything else. It's the hardest setup of the year. Certainly Oakmont, I think, lived up to that, where we had one guy, J.J. Spahn, had to make a 64 footer just to get under par.
Unreal.
We had one guy under par at the U.S. Open, which is kind of how the U.S. Open should be, in my opinion. So most of the guys I played made the cut. I did play one kind of long bomb that did not. Tom Hoagie at 125-1 missed the cut on the number actually last week, but gained 4.5 strokes with the ball striking. That would have rated top 5 in the field, by the way. And he finished 3rd here last year. Short course, premium on iron play. You recall his one win was back in 2022 where he won at Pebble Beach. So very similar length course, because this is only about 6,850 from the tips of the tee. So a lot of non-driver off the tee, a lot of three metal, a lot of hybrid, some long irons as well. So they keep driver in the bag for the most part here at River Highlands.
Yeah, Wes, and that led me to Captain America here, Keegan Bradley. I wrote him down before we had you on today, and I looked at his – I was kind of shocked the number was what it was, but I'll ask you as the expert. So he's plus 260 for a top 10, including ties here on DraftKings, but I know you have him as a potential outright here as well. Is it ideal course fit, like, or is this just kind of recent form also that lends you to Keegs?
Little bit of both, Jensen, and he's a Northeast guy, of course, originally from Vermont. So, you know, growing up in the Northeast, these are always a little bit extra special for him. He won here, by the way, in 2023 and was the runner up in 2019. Before last week's U.S. Open, where he was T33, he had had two top 10s, seventh at the Memorial, eighth at the PGA. And Keegan Bradley, now we're starting to get, and that was a theme on Golf X this week, who's going to be that Ryder Cup team, because J.J. Spahn locked himself in, being U.S. Open champion. So six locks for the points and then six captain's picks by who? You guessed it, Keegan Bradley. And, you know, if he wants to justify selecting himself or qualifying on points, he's got to win and he's got to win soon. And this looks like one of the more likely spots for him to do.
It is fascinating. I can't wait for the Ryder Cup to come here in September up there at Bethpage Black. And a guy trying to make that roster as well is going to be Cameron Young. And all of a sudden, Cam Young looks like, Wes, he's starting to play better golf. He still hasn't won on tour, right? One of those guys, we're talking about Tommy Fleetwood not winning stateside here. I know he's 45-1 this week, but again, you know, at one point he was one over after a couple early birdies in the final round at Oakmont. You felt like he might be in the equation to win that championship after what he did at the RBC the week before in Canada. Is he rounding into shape enough that we can start taking shots again on Cameron Young?
Well, I made an attempt to buy in here, Dave, and Cameron Young has always been one of those guys. It's like he dangles it in front of you. He dangles the candy, you know. It's like, okay, here we go. This is the guy, and then he disappoints. But T4 last week at the U.S. Open, best major championship result in 3 years, top seven, three of the last five. Remember, he was in the mix the week before at the RBC Canadian Open, ninth year at the Travelers last year. So I'm willing to buy in after five pretty good weeks of results, just looking at the data lines, and he was green pretty much all across the board. So willing to give it a chance here at 50-1.
I like it. Wes, any other long shots? Can I throw out, and this is not even a long shot, but can we have any interest anywhere with Ludwig, maybe even Patrick Cantlay, or is this kind of one of those, you know, hey, I know Cantlay's better on shorter courses, and perhaps the long shot is if his putter heats up. But I know Dave and I are huge fans of the big Swede. Just it feels like it's been very choppy for his performance here the last month or so.
Yeah, his iron play, Jensen, has just been off and has not been able to find any consistency. I'll talk about the guy, the other name you mentioned, Patrick Cantlay, who was a last-minute leave-off for me. I'll play him in a positional, like a top 20, potentially a top 10. This guy, by the way, he's a regular player of this event because this just became a signature event a couple of years ago. So you have some guys that are only here because it's a signature event. And then you have a guy like Cantlay, who is a yearly player in this event. And if you look at the form line for him going back from last year to 2018, he's never finished worse than 15th here. And he was fifth here last year, fourth here the year before. So course form, he's definitely a horse for the course, but he's been a little bit erratic to me too. So I didn't end up getting there on an outright. So that might be a regret though, because I'm a guy that tends to play him a lot and think that he's coming around again. And then he's not coming around again.
Wes, we've got a couple months here before we get to Bethpage for September in the Ryder Cup. USA, I've been asking about these numbers for months now. There's still a $1.45 betting favorite. Europe right now, plus $1.50. If you think there's a tie, Europe retains a cup. It's 12-1. Are you, if you're a European backer, are you like, Rory's going to be fine? Like, this is his event. He loves the Ryder Cup. Forget what's happened post-Augusta. Rory is our anchor. Do not worry about Roars. Is that fair?
I think that's fair. I think you give him the benefit of the doubt. This European operation, there's a reason why they've kicked butt here basically over the last quarter century, because they have a squared away operation and great leadership. Luke Donald coming back to captain the team again. And you look at the American team on the other side, other than that top six, and that includes Spahn, by the way,
right,
who has never been on one of these teams. You've got a lot of mystery men on this team, you know, the Russell Henleys and the Ben Griffins and the Matt McNealys, Andrew Novak. not a lot of experience. So you're going to have maybe a lot of rookies, unless some of the veterans like the Jordan Spieths or the Tony Finaus, et cetera, can get going. So this is going to be a largely unproven team that Keegan Bradley is going to have at that stage.
I don't want to bet the Euros. Wes, you're the best. Thanks for watching VSiN by the Books. The Numbers Game is up next.